And it is the top of the hour, so we'll go ahead and get started on the 1st of the July. Happy Canada Day. I don't think there's any Canadians in here at the moment, but they're probably out celebrating and shooting off fireworks, which I'm sure we'll be doing pretty soon. As I was telling the folks earlier, there's not a lot going on in the iPhone world as far as new and great. Apple Viz, all they had was role-playing games, and I totally am not interested in any of that thing. There was one game that I sort of looked at, had to do with darts, but then it had some other stuff mixed in with it too, so it kind of lost my attention. The only thing I've been doing lately with the iPhone, I have been using copy speech a lot. Parker, those two things that I sent you that I thought you would enjoy, I used the copy speech feature on Facebook and then just dropped it right into an email to you. And it just was so easy and so simple. That is just such a tremendous tool to have. And the other thing I did try was the what do you call that, hold on when somebody what is it called when somebody puts you on hold and you go into, and I found out how to access it just by accident. I was on the phone, I needed to put it on speaker. So I went in to hide the keyboard. I was on hold. I went in to hide the keyboard, and then I was looking for the speaker option. And I just happened to run into the hold assist button. I thought, oh, there it is. So I double tapped on that, and it takes you to, are you sure you want to do this? You'll be notified when the caller picks up. And I said, yeah, hold assist. And I double tapped there. And it took the annoying music right off the phone. I'm going, oh, yes, this is great. And then I went to the top of the screen where the dynamic island is. That's our wonderful dynamic island. And it showed me that I had a call and that I was using hold assist. And what happens is when they pick up, your phone rings, so you just answer the phone like you would if they had just originally called. I didn't complete that process because for some reason I had to hang up. But anyway, it was really cool, and I'll probably use that feature again at some point. So that's pretty much all that I have at the moment, those two things. I'm going to open the floor for anybody else that has any questions, comments, or just wants, you know, what you've been doing with your iPhone lately.
My question is, what does the other person hear on the other end? So let's say you fire a little bit away from your phone and it's ringing. Do they give you some audio message or something?
No, it's total silence. And then when they pick up, your phone rings like, okay, you know, they're on the phone now.
No. I'm saying, let's say the other person on the other end, you're on hold right now. All right. Let's say you're a couple feet away from your phone. Your phone starts ringing. What do they hear because you have put that hold function on? You see what I'm saying?
I have no way of knowing what they hear.
I'm only guessing, but I would rather imagine they hear the phone ring.
That would be my guess, too.
Yeah, I'm curious about that, too. We might have to try that someday. Call somebody and just have them put on hold and let them come back and see what they hear. Yeah, because if they come back and they're like, hello, nobody's there, they're going to hang up by the time you pick up. So I'm hoping it would start ringing or say one moment, notifying the caller.
I bet it does do that because, you know, it goes completely silent on your end and then it starts ringing when they pick up. So when you go on the hold assist, it does say, we'll notify you when the party picks up. But I had that feature turned on for a long time. And when I'd get be on hold, I'm going, well, where is that? Because I couldn't find it. They don't tell you in the app when you turn it on where how to access it. I just stumbled upon it totally by accident.
You're saying you don't really like flute solos?
No, those 40-minute flute solos are not that great. I like the flute fine, but not 40 minutes worth.
And remind me again, I think I did already put it in my rotor. I think that's what you do with the copy speech. I keep forgetting about it. Not that I've really needed it, but... So once you, like, say you're in a text message, you swipe right, you hear what you want to copy, then you just use the rotor, go to copy speech, double tap on it. And then I guess where you go to wherever it is you want to paste it, say in notes, then you just flick up or down. And or do you have to go to copy speech again or just flick up or down to the list, through the list of things you've copied?
No, to get it, you don't have to go to copy speech at first. You do a three-finger quadruple tap, three fingers, one, two, three, four. And it, you'll hear it all over again, what you just heard that you want to put on the clipboard. Then at that point, it's in your copy speech clipboard. So wherever you go to put it, you just navigate to notes or email or whatever. And at that point, when you're in an edit field, it only works if you're in an edit field. Then that point at that point, you want a rotor to, it'll say copy speech, and then you click up or down to get to the part that you want to copy, and all you got to do is double tap, and it drops it right in.
Oh, okay, thank you. And I'm assuming if you forget the three-finger quadruple tap, because I hardly ever use it, you can just go to edit in the rotor and go to copy and copy whatever, copy line, the old school way. No matter how you copy it, it's going to go on the clipboard.
If it's all selected, I don't know if it'll go into the copy speech clipboard. But the three-finger quadruple tap always works.
Sounds good. I'll have to try and remember, practice it here and there just for, you know, the... keep it fresh in my mind. It's so easy, but again, I hardly ever use it, so I forget.
I've used it quite a bit in text messages. I've used it in, I'll see something on Facebook that I want to share with somebody, and I'll put it in an email to them. And, or if it's something I want to save for later, I'll open up my notes app and I'll create a new note and drop it in there. I used a lot when I was out of town to send, you know, get addresses out of an email, copy it to the speech clipboard. And you can do this multiple times. You can copy a section, go to another part of that page. It's like, oh, okay, I want to get this, listen to it, copy that. You can copy multiple things at one time. And it's all in that copy speech clipboard. It's a powerful tool.
I did the update yesterday. Thank you for that, Parker. And I don't know why I forget. The ringer on my phone is not as loud as it once was. My voiceover, you know, I've used the volume buttons to turn that up. Is there a separate setting that I'm missing? I went into the phone app. I went into the sounds and haptics. It says what my ringtone is. But as far as like controlling the volume of it, is there something I'm missing there?
You should be able to rate it in the sounds and haptics section.
Yeah, and the other thing you want to do is turn off... raise and lower or control volume. I forget how it's worded with buttons. So this way, if you set it to 80, it stays at 80 because if you that button is checked, you know, to use with buttons, every time you press down like the down the volume, your ringer is going to go down with it too. So you separate like your whatever the speech volume to your ringer volume.
oh, okay, maybe that's, you know, when they do these updates, they turn things off that you had on, turn things on you had off. And I guess I have to go through some of these settings again.
I'm kind of winging it here. I was under the impression that it only changes the ringtone volume if you press the button while it's actually ringing. I know when my ringers have been too soft, while it was ringing, I pressed the up volume button and it increased the volume as it was ringing.
I was just thinking about that, wondering if it worked, and you have validated that, Parker. So that's another way when somebody calls you, just press the volume up, and I think it'll raise it. That's a real easy way to do it.
Interesting, because when I press one of the volume buttons, it mutes the ringer. I think it keeps ringing, but... you know, at least on the other person's end, but it turns my ringer off. And if I press the power button, sets it straight to voicemail.
Yeah, if I hit the up or down button, it sends, I know it mutes it, but I thought it sent it right to voicemail.
Yeah, it turns my ringer off too. And then at that point, I can look and see who's calling. That's interesting.
Oh, and that's another issue. While it's ringing and VoiceOver is trying to tell you who is calling, sometimes you don't hear who is calling, especially if it's somebody with a real short name. And I know that probably has to do with how you have it listed in your contacts. And maybe on some of my friends, I need to look at that. But sometimes you just, and it only says it once. So if you miss it when it says it once, and then you're not sure if you want to answer it or not, because heaven knows you get enough calls you don't want to answer, that's kind of an interesting thing, too, to figure out how to put that all together.
You know, I noticed that when my phone rings, it doesn't say who it is. I know that they're in my contact by the ringtone, but I have to mute the volume of the ringer and then flip back to see who it's actually calling, you know, if I want to screen it further.
Yeah. The only way I know of doing is swiping left. I think if you go all the way to the left, forget what it says, then swipe once to the right and you should hear the name or the phone number. And then you can use your rotor to get the words or letters to do it that way. Granted, you have to do it kind of quickly because at some point it's going to go to voicemail on you. And that's also useful, like if you have a loud ringer, like I said, just tap the volume down button. I think it doesn't matter which one, but I would use the volume down button. It'll mute the ringer, but it's still ringing on their end. And then you can hear what the voiceover is saying easier. And I'm going to check something on for the ringer for you guys.
Well, that's the way I do it too, Hanker. But I kind of go up to the top because I know what's up towards the top. Because if I get up, it's right towards, you know, where your clock is and stuff. And that does a kind of a small area, but I can usually find it.
You know, one thing, I was on the phone with my brother one time and they had, you know, his wife's phone rang. And I could hear who was calling above the ringtone. And I'm going, well, how come my phone doesn't like work like that? And they don't even have voiceover on. So I wonder if it's a voiceover thing.
I was checking the other day, and I suspect you're right, because there's several settings you can get in there to have VoiceOver announce things. I'm not VoiceOver, I'm sorry, Siri announce things, because I thought about doing that myself.
I'll have to look at that. Maybe there's an option for Siri to announce who's calling. That would be cool.
That's why with anybody that calls you regularly, I like to assign special ringtones to them. That way you know who's going.
This is true. This is true. But my memory's not good. And I did that one time. I assigned the special ringtone to CJ. And she called. And I'm going, who is that? She didn't call me often enough. But now I know. But it was fun.
And the other thing I wish you could control is when you get a message, you know, from the messages app, a text, and it just says, so-and-so sent you a long message. And 9 times out of 10, you know, I don't, when I move around here, I don't take my phone with me. It might be on the dining room table or, you know, someplace else, and I'm in the kitchen with my hands in the sink or whatever. And so you got to go over there and put the thing on messages and put the focus on messages to read the entire thing. Sometimes it seems like it tries to read it and other times it doesn't. And I haven't figured out how you would set something in the settings to say, when I get a message, read it.
Would Hey Siri work for that? Say here, if you say, Hey Siri, read last message, would it not read it to you?
I don't know, because I don't have Hey Siri set up. I don't have that on.
I think if you say, Siri, read last message, she will read it. But she always tells me you have to unlock your phone first.
Yeah, I never have my phone locked.
I just held the button on mine and said, read previous messages. And it started telling me who I had messages from and started reading them.
Okay, I'm not really understanding the volume with buttons thing because I did turn it on. I went to my home screen and I brought the volume way down. So voiceover went down. I went back into settings and it was still at 70%, which is where I have it set to. What I did notice is when I'm in that slider or even outside of that slider, I could turn the volume up and down within settings with the volume buttons. But when I unchecked or turned off change volume with buttons, then the volume buttons weren't working. I would have to use my finger to slide up and down to adjust the volume in settings. So I don't know about it getting turned up and down while you're using the phone on the regular.
Yeah, but once you use your finger to slide up and down to set the volume level, it should stay there. It shouldn't go down on its own.
Correct. That's my understanding. Well, I have it turned off anyway, even if whether it's within just settings or if it's global or, you know, like when you're on the phone or something, then I still have it turned off.
Well, that's something to look for, and I'm gonna work on changing ringtones. But I don't know. I don't have a lot of people calling me, so I don't have a need for a whole lot of ringtones. But that's an interesting thought. So you might want to consider turning Siri on, Chrisanne, and maybe explore that possibility.
Shoot, what was I gonna say? I think it was Mara that said the ringtone, right? When you go back into settings, do you notice that the volume has gone down on you? Like it wasn't where you left it? And then the ringtones for your contacts, is there a way to turn it on to make a ringtone for everybody? Just say everybody uses ringtone? Because over the years, all my contacts, I just have my bought ringtone. And I would like to have my contacts use my bought ringtone and put a generic ringtone for everybody not in my contacts. But I don't want to do it one by one by one all through my contact.
The only way I think that would work is if you put call screening on and everybody that's not in your contacts, it won't ring. It'll go to call screening. But if they are in your contact, it will put your default ringtone on.
Okay. I could either try that or just one by one, just start doing the people I normally talk to. Just start doing that way. And people that hardly ever call, they're just in my contacts, just so I might hear from them someday, or I talk to them every 5-6 months or something, then I'll get to them eventually.
Those are the people I would change, not the ones that call you most often.
True, but like I said, I just want to turn my phone, just put a generic phone ringtone on it, and then go in, and then people in my contacts put my Booker T song on my contacts.
I don't know. I don't believe I've ever seen that as an option in there. It's just default ringtone for pretty much everybody, and then you have to go into your contacts, each individual, and change the other ones. I don't know.
I don't think I've ever seen that either, that you could have that option.
Well, all it is I right now my ringtone is the blues song. So anybody in my contacts or not. So that's the default ringtone. I would just go and change it back to something else, you know, like one of the iPhone's default ringers. So then everybody in my contacts and not in my contacts will ring that way. That, like I said, then I would have to go in and go, like, say I go to Spence's phone number and go into her contact and change her ringtone to the blues song. Then go to my daughter's contact, change her ringtone to the blues song, you know, et cetera, et cetera. I wish there was a way to just say all contacts use this ringtone.
I don't think they probably, you might want to drop that in the Apple suggestion box.
Not a bad idea.
All right. Anybody else got anything? This is your show.
Not really. I was looking at the Apple Vis thing too, and I didn't see much in there. Except for the darts game, I didn't see anything really new and improved. I keep hearing about the Scribe Me thing, but I think that's still in beta, and I don't have the Meta glasses anyway. I guess you don't need the glasses to use it, but I just haven't downloaded it or anything.
I do have the Gemini AI app, and been playing around with that. So trying to create some things, and I still haven't got it to where I'm happy with it, so I'll have to try something else. But it's pretty neat, it's pretty responsive, and you can do the live AI on that.
And the live AI basically is the same thing. You can just ask it, like, what's in front of me, and it'll kind of describe what's in front of you. Now, does it just describe, like, what you're looking at that moment, or, like, if you turn, say I'm facing the TV, it'll tell me the TV's there. And if I turn 90 degrees to my left towards the computer, will it automatically tell me, oh, now you're looking at a computer?
I don't think it'll do it automatically. You probably have to prompt it by, say, what do you see now? Or I was looking at, I've got this picture frame on the end table across the room. And I was pointing the camera at the picture frame, and I was asking it to describe the pictures, and they would switch every maybe 30 seconds. And so I'd wait and I'd say, describe another, you know, describe this picture. And it was pretty cool. There's some pictures on there I didn't know that I had. That was pretty neat.
That's really cool. I have to check that out. But yeah, I've heard stuff about Describe Me. Somebody was wearing with the Meta glasses driving in their car, and it was almost like they were seeing, because it was just describing trees and houses, or, you know, you're passing this store, or a fire truck just, you know, went the other way, blah, 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 like in real time. And I thought it was interesting.
Yeah, that can be very interesting. I can't seem to think that that's better than live person like Ira. I love Ira. We'll always have them as an option. I guess that's why I haven't been so anxious or eager to get Meta glasses or any other type. Plus, what I'm hearing from Meta glasses, a lot of people are having issues keeping them connected, updating them. I know Terry has really good luck with his. His seems to be very responsive. I like the way he uses that. But I'm very leery of the Meta product because of their ties to Facebook and what Facebook does with the information they get from you.
And if anybody here has the Meta glasses, I heard a rumor, and it is a rumor, at least from what I was told is a rumor, and I'm saying it's a rumor. I don't know if everything, but I hear Meta glasses are going to be going subscription. Anybody have any word on that?
I have not, but I've heard, and through listen to This Week in Tech that maybe we're going to get Apple glasses. And if we get Apple glasses, you know that's going to be easy to work into the phone. I got to be honest with you. They seem to do things pretty easily.
Well, I just read an email earlier about the subscription. And that's if you want to be, get, well, more features. If you pay a subscription, which I don't know how good the added features actually would be.
Yeah, I would not. I'm not a big fan of subscription, even the computer apps. Like, what is it, the ones you have to pay a subscription for? Office? No. You have to pay monthly for that. Jaws? No. I'm not doing that either. So I'm very, very opposed to a subscription-based anything, because you never own it. You're always just renting it.
Yeah, I heard some pretty interesting demos of the Agiga glasses, and they have a button that you can press that then you can, I don't think you have to talk to it anymore. You just, as you're looking around wearing your glasses, it describes what you have, and then you might be able to say you're looking, say, for a certain room number or something like that if you're in an office building. But now I don't know if I haven't heard them say that it's a subscription for that. I know that the Glide device, the mobility device, I heard the demo of that, and that's a subscription fee. And I was surprised to hear that $30 a month or something. And if you're going to pay something like that, I'm back to Ira. I'd rather pay to have a person do it with me than that.
Yep, Ira, back to Ira. If you're going to pay all that money, you might as well have a real live person that can actually give you positive on the moment feedback. So there's another case for that. Ira's got nothing to worry about as far as I'm concerned. But I think of that Glide, I would never get the subscription, but I think they offer it. You, if you want the extra maps on it, you can do subscription. But I think just for local navigation, you shouldn't need to have that.
Well, there was one YouTube video that I was watching the other day, and it was a comparison between the Meta glasses and the Agiga glasses. And I was wanting to scream at the person that was doing the video. She was having it identify money and comparing who was more accurate, Agiga or Meta. But she would put like three or four bills in her hand at one time. And then she would point her, you know, gaze, glasses, at these things, and it wasn't reading it correctly. And I thought, that is a terrible way to knock the ability of the glasses, because you don't really, when you do things like that, at least I don't, when you're trying to identify bills or whatever, you lay them on a table so they stay still, for one thing, and you do one thing at a time. You focus on one thing at a time. And I thought, she's really doing a great injustice by making people think these things really don't do that well. She wasn't doing the test that well, if you ask me.
Yeah, I think I know who you're talking about, somebody named Erica. I've seen her demos, and I agree with you. Wasn't very well done. I don't know what her objective was, but common sense isn't one of them.
I could see it done both ways. Well, she should have done both ways, flat on the table or separately. Because I even use iNote and stuff. I hold the bill in my hand, but only one bill at a time. The only objective I could see with, like, if she had three bills in her hand, fanned out, like a playing cards or something, is if one of them was able to say, it's a hand holding three bills, you know, currency bills from left to right. It's a 20, a 10 in the middle, and a 5 on the right. If it could do that, then that'd be cool. But other than that, then you should be doing singles.
Be My Eyes could do that.
Yeah, I think Be My Eyes would do that. The reason for...
+1 6 0 7 5 6 6 2.
Oh, I got a phone call. I got to take...
Sounds like the president calling him.
Must be an important man.
Yeah, Trump wants you.
Yeah, this is Don. You got a minute, Terry?
That was pretty funny.
I get emails from him all the time saying, I've been trying to call you. Really?
Yeah, that's the scammers that try to get a hold of you via email. It's just, it's funny. They don't, you know, they need to use spell check or something, because half of what they write is not even spelled correctly.
Yeah, okay, I got off the phone already. Yeah, Beat My Eyes. Now, if you had your currency laid out on a table or holding your hand, I think it would tell you one to the left and then go to the right. I have a blood pressure machine, and I took a picture, and it had three buttons on it, and it actually described each button, what it did, from left to right, and it told me, you know, which button was which. I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah, Be My Eyes is actually excellent, now that you bring that up, because when I was visiting, I think I told you guys the story before, when I was down in Florida visiting my daughter, they had gone to work or to gym or something. But anyway, they were out. I was home alone, and I guess I wanted to adjust the TV or the volume to have a sound bar with a sound subwoofer and remote. Anyway, so I took a picture of the remote with Be My Eyes, and it described the remote like top to bottom, row by row. So I knew exactly where the volume was, if I want to turn the bass up or how to turn it on and off. It laid out like the whole remote for me, and I was like, oh, I'm in action. I started watching TV, flipping channels. It was great.
Also, I get Meals on Wheels, and it comes in a tray with a clear plastic paper over the top of it. And it has three different sections, large and two smaller ones. And it actually tells you, describes what's in the top left one, what's in the top right one, and what's in the large section. And it does a pretty good job.
Yeah, I can hear it saying, there's mystery meat on the left, there's beans in the... yeah, let me know, Parker, if Wendy gets that macaroni and cheese. That is just, it's really good.
And some mushy green stuff on the bottom right.
She does, I'll let you know.
I get those Meals on Wheels things too, Terry. And I didn't know you could do that. I read the main label that tells me, you know, what the whole meal is, but I've never tried to focus on each compartment to see what's in what. That'd be cool. Now all we got to do is have the food be halfway decent.
Well, actually, I don't have any. They don't give them labels here with what's in it. The best you can do is take a picture and hopefully Be My Eyes will tell you what it is. And that comes pretty close. Sometimes it says it looks like such and such. But it's pretty darn close. Tell you beets or spinach or squash or, you know, pasta with cheese sauce or, you know, it seems to get it pretty darn close. And it tells me in just one shot, you know, it'll tell you, you know, it's a food tray covered with plastic, and it'll say your upper left would be this and your upper right would be this. And your large would be this, you know? So I was pretty impressed.
Okay, the ones that I'm talking about are the frozen ones that they give you that have the label. Now, ours, the ones that you get during the week, the regular meals, they just have a cardboard. And I've never tried to see if there's any writing on that cardboard thing. They give you a printed menu at the beginning of the month if you can figure out all the columns that that's in. But that's interesting. I'll play around with that.
Yeah, give it a shot. It does quite well. So I've used it several times, and it's always pretty close.
You know that I was trying to look at a picture that I got via text, and I double tapped on the photo and it did the share thing, and usually it'll say describe with be my eye, describe with seeing AI. Neither one of those was in the options. I thought, what is going on?
Sorry, this is where? What were you looking at or doing?
I got a photo via text and I double tapped on the photo when I went to share it. And usually you share, it takes you through all these options, and one of which you eventually get to describe with Be My Eyes or describe with Seeing AI. And I didn't see that as an option anywhere.
Sometimes you have to double tap on more, but maybe it wasn't even there, and that's interesting. And here's a good question, because I can't remember how to do it. There is a way, like if you under share, if there's ones you use more often, I don't know if you double tap and hold or something, you can actually move it more closer to the beginning, right? Is there a way to do that?
You can move what closer to the beginning? Yeah, I did hit the more button and it wasn't there either.
Well, say it's under more. Say you got like 15 options. Like, I know when you're writing a text or you double tap, you do cache, music, notes, pictures, all kinds of stuff. So, say you want, say Apple Cache is the eighth one down, which usually isn't, but just to say something, you can move Apple Cache more closer to the beginning of that list. So, when you double tap and expand all the apps, Apple Cache will be like one of the very first ones or wherever you put it instead of the eighth one down.
Oh, I'll have to look into that because if I can find Be My Eyes on that list, I'm going to put it right up front.
That'd be like a drag and drop thing, right? And I don't know how to do that very well.
I don't know, but I'm definitely going to look into it.
I'll tell you the other crazy thing I had happen today. I have this Bible study devotional book, one page per day. And at the bottom of the page, it gives you the Bible readings. And for the first time using VD scan, it read the text of the devotional just fine. And when it got down to the Bible readings, it was kind of unclear. So I went over with my Opticon, and what it had said for the books of the Bible to look in was totally different than what it really was. And I've never heard VD scan hallucinate like that. And I wonder, this Bible study devotional book is printed, I'm guessing, on recycled paper. And it's real thin. When you go to turn the pages, it's kind of hard to separate the pages. They're so thin. And I wonder sometimes if that's a thing where print bleeds through, like from another page or something like that. But that's something that I thought, well, I'm glad I had the Opticon to go look and make sure what it was.
Wow, you can read it with the Opticon. That's fascinating. But I bet you nailed it. I bet it's exactly what you just said, that the paper's so thin that it was actually picking up text from another page.
Yeah, I'm thinking that's it too, unless it's just really fancy calligraphy, you know, the font that they're using. So it was messing up a VD scanner or something, but probably bleeding through sounds more likely.
Yeah, because it was totally different. It was telling me it was the book of Matthew, and it was not. It was the book of Hebrews. So that's not even similar in letters or anything like that. But I guess that's something you always have to think about now, too, when you're reading printed material. Like even glossy print, you know, from magazines and stuff like that. I know from using the Opticon, you were always kind of aware of what kind of thing am I, what kind of paper, what kind of thing am I getting this from?
Yeah, I've noticed that too, whether it be with CNAI or be my eyes or anything that read text and stuff. Like certain things like cans or something, if it's kind of shiny, I always hold the phone like at an angle, not straight at it, so I don't get the light reflection bounce back into the camera. It's if you know what I mean. Yeah, because if you got, especially if you have the flashlight on, it'll reflect the light back into the camera and it won't read well.
Is anybody still using Live Read? I use it to read all the physical mail that we get. It is so good.
Yes, I've been using that a lot lately. I think it had a little bit of a problem with this. I think I tried it with that Bible study thing today too, and it was not everything was all. And sometimes you have to clear speech and do it a couple of times if you want to get a really good reading of something. But yeah, if you just want to know what something is real quick, that thing is great.
Yeah, I use it quite a bit.
Yeah, I use it a lot too.
Oh yeah, because usually what I get in the mail is just junk mail. It goes from the mailbox to the trash can.
Yeah, I use it quite a bit too. And even sometimes, like, you have a couple boxes in the freezer, just want to know what it is. It's faster than trying to take a picture, whether it be My Eyes or CNAI or whatever. Or just, I don't know. It just works so much quicker. I pull out a box, you know, put Live Read over it. It'll tell me what it is. Put it down, grab another box, just clear speech and point it, and boom, you know, it's not, I don't know. I just find it super fast and pretty accurate and stuff.
It's really amazing the tools that we have that we can read with different apps that compared to just 5 years ago. I think all we had 5 years ago was seeing AI. Now look at us go.
The only app that I am disappointed in, I don't know if that's because of our society changing from barcodes, to QR code or whatever, is that Zuzenka app. Boy, for the longest time, you could use that and point at your item and you got the expiration date. And I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and she said she was having trouble with it, and so have I. And that's too bad, because that was so helpful to know expiration dates of things.
What was that app called? I didn't quite catch it.
I think she said Zuzenka. Never heard of it. And does it read it off the box, or because with the barcode, it kind of knows it, like it gets the information through the barcode to get you the expiration date? Because that is kind of cool.
I really don't know. I guess it might have been from a barcode, because like I say, it's not working that well. And it's called Zuzenka. Don't ask me how to spell it. I can't remember. I've had it on my phone for quite a while, and it worked so great, and it didn't take a long time for it to find the information, and now it's doesn't seem to be. So I don't know if everything is QR code and the app is not meant for that or whatever. I don't know.
Well, it still has to have a barcode, because the store still uses the barcodes for ringing stuff out. Now, is that all it does? Is expiration date that app, or does it do other stuff? Is it more like the information, what tells you what the item is, ingredients, nutritional, all that stuff too?
Does anybody besides me notice that WeatherFast app is not working right now? It worked great when it came out, and they added the ability for it to know where you're at. And ever since they did that, it has not worked right since. And I just wonder if anybody else knows that.
Yeah, that's wonderful updates. It impacts us all, Parker. You're not the only one. It's horrible. Facebook is another case in point. I don't know what they've done, but oh, it keeps circling back around, back around, back around. It's just annoying.
If you go into a comment or something, like you double tap to open it and read the comments, when you come out of it, whether you use a scrub or the back button, you have to like tap the middle of the screen, which is kind of where the one you just clicked on is. And I do it a couple of times to try to keep the focus there. Otherwise, it will jump back to the beginning. Yeah, that is annoying. It doesn't always work, but it works 90%. A majority of the time it works for me. I come out and I tap like center of the screen where it is. Sometimes I just tap a couple times and then I start swiping right and then I'm good.
I will try that thing.
And quick question. Somebody mentioned Apple glasses. My nephew had come in, so I missed that part of it. Is that the newer version of the Apple Vision glasses or is it separate? Because Apple Vision glasses, I believe when they came out, they were like $3,500. That compared to Meta glasses, that's a big jump in price. So I don't know if they're coming up with just like more simpler Apple glasses, like for us or not specifically for us, but or if it's the Apple Vision.
Well, you know, the InVision glasses that InVision had out, they were pretty pricey. They were in the $3,000 range. Now people can't give those things away. It's not even supported anymore. It's like, oh, it's a lot of money for people to not have benefit from it anymore. I just hate that.
Hank, I think that was Dennis that mentioned that if they ever do come out, if iOS comes out with glasses, that they would be perfect because they've always been so good as far as accessibility goes.
They already do have glasses out, but again, it's the Apple Vision. I guess they're like the AR augmented reality, got like 9 cameras in it. Like I said, that was like $3,500, but I'm not spending that kind of money. And there's a lot of stuff on the screen that sighted people can read text like on the inside of the screen, like if it was out in front of them. And I think you can interact with your hands with hand gestures in the air. But I don't know how they would work for us. But yeah, when he said glasses are coming out, I was hoping that they were coming out with a less fancy pair than those, more for like using like the Meta glasses or Giga.
I could just see somebody walking down the street with those glasses on, making these wild gestures in the air. They're going to come take them away.
Seems like I've read that the Apple glasses that Dennis was talking about that would be comparable to Meta and Giga and that, I think that's not going to be for another year or so, I think. I think that's what I've read.
Well, I think the glasses like Meta and Giga and all them, I think they're going to be in the next 5 years be so commonplace that the price will inevitably go down and be a lot for affordable. But as long as I get IRA, I think I'm good just as status quo.
The only good thing I think, well, not the only good thing, one good thing about having those types of glasses, doesn't have to be Meta, but if we ever find the right one, the best one, so I'm still not ready to get Meta or glasses yet, is even with Ira, because they do work with Ira, you could be just hands-free. You know what I mean? You could be walking down the sidewalk and just wearing the glasses and still have an IRA agent in your ear, and it's using the glasses instead of walking around holding your phone up in the air or on your chest or whatever. Although if you have a harness on your chest, I guess that's almost the same thing as having the glasses. So wherever you're looking, that's what they're seeing.
Yeah, that's what I have a lanyard that I use, and they can see pretty good. When I first got IRA back in 2016, they had glasses, and it was a camera. No frames, but it was on a frame, but no like lenses or anything. You had the camera on the right temple of the glasses, and the agent can see through that. And for 2 or 3 years, we used Ira like that. And then they came out with this, what was it called? It was a Samsung, or it was some kind of Android phone they used as a controller. And it came with a pair of glasses that paired with it. And you would need that phone and the glasses and the Aira app to connect. So that was a little more cumbersome, but it had a greater field of range and worked really well. So they've gone through several iterations. So I think teaming up with people like Meta and Agiga, I think you're going to get the best of both.
Yeah, like you said, prices will start coming down, probably start weeding out the weaker companies. The better companies are going to, or the better marketing companies anyway, because not always the best product is the one that prevails, like beta versus VHS, AM versus FM radio. But yeah, things will get better and cheaper, and looking forward to see what they come up with in the future.
Well, you know, that's just it. The future looks very bright for individuals that, such as ourselves, that are blind and having to navigate the world in a different way. And just dealing with sighted people in general, 99% of them are very nice and willing to help. But then you get this 1% that has this superiority complex and likes to lord it over you because you can't see. So anyway, but 99% of the sighted people out there are good people, and they're willing to assist if needed. So, all right, we're coming up to the end of the hour. So I think we had a pretty good discussion today. It was very productive, and unless anybody has any final comments, I guess we'll go ahead and adjourn for today. And 2 weeks from today, we will do this again, and hopefully there'll be a little more news forthcoming. So everybody have a great afternoon.